Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You may be seated. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." From the moment when David defeated the great Philistine giant Goliath, something changed in the heart of Saul, which was in no doubt influenced by the songs the Israelites would sing about David as they returned home to their towns and villages. As the chorus goes, as spoken by the prophet Samuel, "Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So angered at this, Saul looked upon David as a threat to his kingdom. From that moment forward, he cast an evil eye upon him. And what began as what could be described a jealousy in his heart towards David grew into a criminal fit of rage as he would seek to have David killed, as he would send David into other battles hoping for his death. And when that wouldn't work, he tried hunting David down. But all of his attempts were unsuccessful. And as it would happen, twice David was given the opportunity to slay Saul as he slept, and twice he spared his life. In fact, Saul's anger turned into madness, and the Spirit of the Lord left him. Later on, as he battled the Philistine army, thus Saul killing himself by his own sword, thrusting himself upon it. But what did David do when he learned of Saul's death? Did he rejoice? What did he do? Do you remember? When he learned of Saul's death, a death that would certainly make him king, David did not rejoice, but was full of grief and sorrow and rent his garments in two. And so what we've been given is a vision of two of God's anointed who met very different outcomes, didn't they? Saul forsook the commandment to love his neighbor, and as a result, anger, malice, and madness set in. While David honored the commandment, not rendering evil upon Saul, even if he had every foreseeable right in the eyes of his brethren, rendered Saul good for evil, and was then delivered from that evil and honored by the Lord for his faith with a crown. And herein lies the great lesson for us all this morning. It is a lesson of love and charity. And just as David spares Saul, just as David loves Saul in spite of his hatred towards him, so does God forgive those who have been unfaithful and lost their way. He is always ready and welcome to welcome anyone into his eternal kingdom. As Peter says in this morning's epistle, "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this are you called, that you may inherit a blessing." And even building more upon Peter's words, Jesus in this morning's gospel says, "If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, then coming, thou shalt offer thy gift." And my friends, with this, I hope that we can see that we have been given a wonderful example, a divine example, of Christ and his passion. Did Christ not first forgive those who condemned him? Those who were responsible for his murder prior to giving up his spirit, which is to say, prior to his sacrifice, his offering before the altar. And what were his words? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You see, as St. John Chrysostom neatly puts it, true sacrifice is reconciliation with our brother. And so when we submit ourselves before the Lord and come to receive his Holy Eucharist, he is not just offering himself to us, but we also to him. And if we do so harboring any ill thoughts, any anger, or wishing mental injury upon any of our neighbor, then sadly our sacrifice is in vain. You see, so often grudges, or you can call it anger or disdain towards another, keeps us from receiving the Eucharist properly. And thus, we heap that anger back upon ourselves by the body and blood of our Lord. As 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 reads, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of what? The body and the blood of the Lord. But tragically, our anger towards one another doesn't end there. Oftentimes, and I've witnessed it many, many times, many, many Christians have done it, that oftentimes the anger and disdain has become so great, so large, so explosive, that they shun the church completely. Or they move on to another church, as the vicious cycle goes. Still harboring that anger, that hostility, it's still weighing them down, still casting a shadow over them, when all that was required was possessing a heart of forgiveness, a heart of charity and love. And for those who do this, I am gravely concerned. If this is how they deal with things among their brethren within the church, how are they handling everyone else in their life that they encounter outside of the church? If you can't be reconciled, if you can't put into practice reconciliation within the institute or body where it is taught and learned, how then is it accomplished outside of those parameters? And I'll save you the suspense. It's not. It's not. At least, it's not being done properly. You know, the actor Woody Harrelson in the show True Detective was once asked by a fellow officer if he harbored any grudges against his former partner on the force. And his response, I'll never forget, his response was no. No, he believed that harboring anger or ill will towards his partner or anyone else, he said that he believed that that is the stuff that gives one cancer. And whether that's true or not, in a way, his words aren't that far off, are they? As we witnessed with Saul, harboring anger towards one another is debilitating and incredibly stressful. It can foster physical illness and pain, and can even drive one to madness. But let me ask you, is that what we want out of life? Is that the best we can do? I can't imagine anyone wanting such a thing. And yet, so many of us do it. So many think that their problems or disagreements with their neighbor are so monumental and vastly important that they have abandoned the true community of the brotherhood of the church. And this tends to happen when we think in terms of I and not we. You see, anger, jealousy, contempt, and scorn are all vices fostered out of a selfish type of love, a counterfeit love. A love, when you think about it, isn't truly love at all, but is pride. and it will only disappoint and lead to one's destruction. But true love and true charity is so, so much more. It is a love that is collective, a love that is shared by you and me, though we is a love that is worthy of Christ and His church, a love that sees one person present themselves as a gift to the other. It is a love that is unbreakable. It is a love that is eternal. Christ didn't offer himself, didn't sacrifice himself on behalf of himself, but on behalf of all, for you and me. There is no I, but we. We are united to one another through the bonds of faith in Christ Jesus. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, we, being many, are what? One body in Christ. Let us, therefore, be reconciled with one another to the benefit of our own health and for that of the church. For a sacrifice to God is a clean heart and a contrite spirit, which we all would do well to remember, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.